Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Impress your friends. Amaze your coworkers. Make your family proud. Here's what you need to know.
I'ma tell you what you need to know. I'ma tell you what you need to hear.
I'll tell you what you need to know. You need to know that the Father's Day sales event is going on here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive, Inland Exit, the northwest corner of 87th and I-35. At least that's how I viewed it. It's here on the outer road. That's Marshall Drive, the west side of I-35. They're open here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 5. Take advantage of it. $25 spotting scopes, $35 tactical rifle scopes, $40 trail cameras, end of the season turkey decoy sale, up to 40% off select night vision. You can even get great specials on like backpacks, ground blinds, cleaning kits, shooting rests and mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets. Todd Lebo, a frequent visitor here. He's a great hunter here to the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Maybe you got a golfer. Dad liked to golf, then you can get the golf laser rangefinders for $130. That's the number one rangefinder in golf. $50 golf GPS. Take advantage of that. You can come check out the indoor golf simulator closest to the pin and long drive contest going on. You can enter to win a disc golf rangefinder as well. Binoculars starting at $35. And if you got a pellet smoker, 20% off on Camp Chef pellets. Everything you need, everything Dad needs to have a great Father's Day is right here at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Locally owned and operated. Great friends of Sports Radio 810 WHB. Their Father's Day sales event, one of the iconic events that they have every year, taking care of Dad, making it easy for you to take care of Dad. It's right here at 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa. Let's start things off with a little KU news. Lance Leipold announcing additions, four more members to his Kansas football staff today. The Jayhawks have added Scott Aligo as the director of scouting. You know what that means? Going out and offering up scholarships to guys on other teams. That's what everybody's talking about with all the transfers that are going on. You got to have a scouting department. So Scott Aligo is going to handle that. Craig Svarskopf. Anybody want to take a shot at that?
Varchkop.
How?
I'm going to say Svarskopf or Varchkop.
I think the S might be
I don't know.
Silent?
There's a lot of consonants in that name. I'm sure I'm wrong. Remember when we tried to guess what Svi Mykhailiuk's name was pronounced? Like when he first signed, I don't think any of us got it right. I know
we nailed
I didn't.
It. We nailed it, didn't we? Didn't we open the show today saying we've been right about every prediction?
And all four of us got it right. We all said Sviatoslav Mykhailiuk.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Perfect.
That's right. Stephen Matos, by the way, Greg is going to be the director of recruiting. Stephen Matos, senior offensive analyst, and he announced Tory Teichel, T-E-Y-K-L, Teichel.
I would say Teichel, or Teichel, maybe.
He is going to remain on the staff, but will have a new role as the director of player development. Royals back in action against the Oakland A's last night. The slump buster, Mike Minor, getting it done. They needed a big pitching performance and really got some offense late, but they needed Mike Minor to throw BBs, and his performance even better when you consider that he was down 1-0. It's one thing when you're cruising, you know, you get a 7-0 lead, it's a lot easier to be perfect. But when you feel like, oh, my God, if I give up even one more run, two runs is going to doom our team. And Mike Minor able to deal last night for the Kansas City Royals. Matheny saying he gave them just what they needed.
We talk about, having a stopper, one of those starters that comes in and gives us that solid outing, and that was as good as we could ask for. And he just did a great job, I thought, controlling the strike zone with his fastball and moving it around, elevating, and made good pitch. He only got hurt on the one curveball. I mean, it really wasn't that bad of a pitch. But besides that, controlled counts. What do you have, one walk the whole night, and just kept a nice pace going. And we needed that, obviously. But to be able to go deep, too, for our bullpen, and then Scott and Greg came in and did a great job finishing it up.
Scott Barlow and Greg Holland, the two guys that hadn't pitched for more than 2 days, 3 days for Barlow, 2 days for Holland. You knew those were going to be the guys, and those were the only two guys he wanted to go get. And Mike Minor not only doing a great job of limiting the runs, but also getting deep into the game. And he's able to get away with one inning each from his bullpen.
Want a fun bullpen stat?
Yeah, I do.
There are 25 pitchers in Major League Baseball right now that have at least 20 games appeared in with an ERA under 2. 25 pitchers. The Royals have 3 of them. Barlow, Brents, and Zimmer. The Cubs, the only other team with 3. So they've got 3 bullpen studs right now.
They put up a stat last night during the game. All 3 of them, 11-plus scoreless inning streaks still in effect. And Barlow has been the most dominant of the bunch. I heard somebody say, well, Barlow stuff's okay. Okay.
And we keep waiting for a Brents regression, but it ain't happened yet.
No, it hasn't yet. They look really good with those three pieces, throwing Ronald Bolaños and his dominant outing, which we talked about when he was traded over. Live arm that they would probably keep starting to work on his pitches, but ultimately project it out as a bullpen piece. That's what they've done. Brought him up and added to the bullpen. That could be a four-headed monster there for the Royals in their bullpen. And we haven't even mentioned Josh Staumont,
yeah,
who has great stuff as well. So that bullpen's starting to get not only very good, but very deep as well. Back to Mike Minor. Matheny asked what makes him effective when he's on.
And I think there's natural deception in his motion combined with extension, combined with good spin. And all of those I put together with good location. It's well-located fastballs are always going to play well in this league. And I think he probably pitches at the top of the zone as good as anybody that we have, especially when Duffy's not in that mix. He and Duff both really do a nice job being able to use the top, which then makes the bottom a tough adjustment. So it's moving it around, and that's what veteran pitchers do.
Now, we've joked around that, like, every base runner he puts on scores,
mm-hmm,
where Chris Bubich seems to be able to leave a small village on the bases every
right
time he's out there. The math says that should balance out, but Mike Minor's been doing the same thing this year as he did last year. The ERA is much higher than you would think it would be with the number of base runners he's put on there. Bubich's ERA has been lower than what you'd expect it to be with the number of base runners he's put on there, but Mike Minor was fantastic last night. And we mentioned the offense finally coming around. That's been one of the big problems. We talked about with Danny Klingscale in the second hour. Catch that on the podcast at 810WHB.com if you missed it. But he thought the lineup fought their way to some success finally.
You're really happy for Doge, Hunter Dozier and Soler both to be impact bats today. And you know, we've talked so much about how much we're putting on them, but put those together. We get into situational hitting just like we talked about before the game. And Gutierrez gets the 2 strikes and is able to put the ball in play. You know, it's not exactly what you're looking for, but it found the right spot and then just gave us a little bit of room. But, you know, we were having some tough at-bats from the beginning, and he had good stuff. We're just going to try and stay in games. Pitchers got to keep us there and then stay consistent with that grinding style approach at the plate.
We'll see if the offense can keep it going. It's the youngsters in order. Brady Singer, Jackson Kowar, and then Chris Bubich. So you get to see the 3 youngsters in these final 3 games against the Oakland A's. We'll see if they can keep putting runs up. I want to give you one more. This is from Quinn Snyder last night, because it sounds a lot like something we heard him talk about at Missouri. Quinn, after the game, the Jazz going up 2-0, talking about the importance of his team finding an identity.
Having an identity is something that you create an identity by doing something over and over and over again. You know, and that takes time. And then when you get in these types of environments, when there's a team that's as good as the Clippers are trying to take stuff away from you, that's even more difficult. So I'm proud of our team, the way we played. We know we're playing against a team. They were down 0-2 in their last series and came back and won it. So, you know, we don't get too high, don't get too low, and keep trying to play the way that we know we have to play and adjust where we need to. But I think our guys are together.
Hello, this is Quinn Snyder, and you're listening to the best sports talk in Kansas City, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We remember him sitting there. We came in studio. I did an interview with him, and we got to find our identity as a team. And you'd say that in post-game press conferences,
yeah,
too.
We've got to realize we need each other.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm thrilled.
20
I'm
years,
thrilled.
I am too. I am too.
Good dude. Didn't work out at Missouri. It wasn't a disaster by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But, good dude. And I'm glad, you know, by all accounts, you know, he had some rough times in his personal life, but he's got that smoothed out and doing great, and I think all Missouri fans probably certainly, like I said, it wasn't a barren wasteland when he was the coach at Mizzou. It just didn't quite work out to the level that they wanted it to, but now doing great with the Jazz, so good luck to him with the Jazz. We'll take a break. Kevin Harlan talking some NFL football, talking some NBA basketball. He joins us next. We're live at the Bushnell Factory Outlet for the Father's Day sales event.
The program with Soren Petro.
Do the show, bitch.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Kevin Harlan on the program is presented by Buck Roofing. Sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. 913-384-2680 or rbuckroofing.com. And by Metcalf CarStar. If you get in a fender bender, call the experts in collision repair. Metcalf CarStar in Overland Park. Go to carstar.com and search Metcalf CarStar. Metcalf CarStar. Relax, we'll take it from here.
He calls the NBA.
Game! Series! Toronto is won!
The NFL.
He digs, he turns, he dives! It is a touchdown!
March Madness.
There's a new member of the Final Four Club, and they hail from Lubbock, Texas.
And even this.
He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. The guy is drunk.
How many jobs Kevin got?
Somebody stop that
man.
Yeah,
here comes the blue coat.
Oh, they got him.
He's the voice of America, Kevin Harlan.
You heard it. We are back with Kevin Harlan, the voice of America from CBS, TNT, Westwood One, and here at Bushnell. The Factory Outlet sale is going on. Father's Day sales event here at 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa, northwest corner of 87th and I-35. That's how I kind of picture it in my head, right here on the outer road, Marshall Drive, 8500 Marshall Drive. Monday through Friday, they're open 10 to 7. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5, great gifts for dad. Everything for getting outdoors. $25 spotting scopes, binoculars starting at $35, $35 tactical rifle scopes, $40 trail cameras, end of season turkey decoy sale, easy for me to say, up to 40% off on select night vision, and of course, golf laser rangefinders for $130. Golf GPS, that's just $50. Great deals going on right now. It is everything from backpacks, ground blinders, cleaning kits, shooting rests, and mats, clay pigeon throwers, targets. It's all here at a great Kansas City company, the Bushnell Factory Outlet, 8500 Marshall Drive. Come and see them and get everything you need for a great Father's Day. And I'll tell you what, if kids aren't old enough to buy for you, go buy for yourself. Wrap it up. Tell them they gave it to dad. It'll be a great deal. We talked to one of the great dads out there and, of course, the voice of America, Kevin Harlan, right now. Kevin, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. You talk about Bushnell. They gave me, Len Dawson, and Bill Grigsby binoculars years. I mean, I'm going back now probably to the late 80s, early 90s, gave us binoculars, and I still have them and used them through my Chiefs days, through my Fox days, through the early days at CBS. And then I went out and bought myself a pair of Bushnell and used that then for like the next 10 years. And then you may not remember this, but not this last Super Bowl, but the one in Miami that the Chiefs were in, I was on with you on Radio Row on our normal Friday night, and we laughed our way through a half hour. And at the end of the show, I took off the headset to have a great weekend, enjoy the game coming up and against the Niners. And you said, hey, I think we may have one last Bushnell. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
And I used them for that Super Bowl when the Chiefs beat the Niners, and used them last year in Tampa when, unfortunately, they lost. And still use them. So I've only had three, and this is going back, decades back to the late 80s, early 90s, when they gave the three of us in the Chiefs booth, and I love them. I swear by them, and I'd recommend them to anybody. They're great. Absolutely great.
I think what I heard there is Bushnell plus Kevin Harlan equals championship. And we did. We had a number, and we gave them to fans down there.
They were nice. They're great. Oh, my gosh. They're so nice. Yep. Oh, my goodness.
Yep, absolutely. It's what I use when I go to the game, and so many great products here at Bushnell. So come on down. Even got a telescope here back in the day. So great folks here, and Bushnell's got all kinds of great sales going on right now, all kinds of items on sale right now for Father's Day. So very kind of you to mention that, Kevin. And certainly always great talking to you. And I do want to get into the NBA, but I want to hit first the NFL news of Julio Jones going to the Tennessee Titans. Should Chiefs fans fear the Titans or the fact that they – even though Mike Vrabel's their head coach, don't seem to be too concerned with stopping anybody. Should this not be the fear factor that I think some Chiefs fans are worried about with Jones coupling up with the rest of the Titans' firepower?
Well, let's always think, first and foremost, when grading in the NFL, who has the ball in their hands the most? So we know it's a quarterback, and Tannehill has proven that he may not be an elite quarterback, but he is definitely top 10 because of the way they've got that offense working around him. But by the way, they lost their offensive coordinator, who became the head coach of Atlanta. So there's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of moving there, and we'll have to see how those parts all settle. Second guy that has it is that great running back, and the third guy that's going to get it is this terrific wide receiver. So I think anytime you've got guys that have the ball, and that's where we should always begin our grading and their firepower, they've got three guys that are dominant players. Now, Jones clearly is in the tail end of his career, but effective quarterback, as we just talked about. And the running back is, you know, one of the top backs over the last 3-4 years in pro football. So I think anytime a team strengthens themselves in that regard, it's always got to be something that's on your radar. And surely the Chiefs are like that. The difference is the Chiefs have got, you know, they've got so many guys that catch the ball and the best guy that throws the ball, and they are still probably a notch above. But, you know, anything goes in this league, and we'll just have to see how they continue to develop. But certainly, yeah, the Titans strengthened themselves clearly with this move.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, teams are loading up with firepower. You know, the Giants have added all kinds of, you know, they're going to, you know, find out about Daniel Jones right now as they've loaded up all kinds of firepower there. It is amazing to watch everybody trying to keep pace with the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's the other football note, is Kyle Long going down. I feel terrible because, you know, by all accounts, he's a great guy. And, you know, I know when guys are injury prone, we talk about it on the baseball side with Adalberto Mondesi, you know, guys don't want to be hurt. But, you know, some guys, their bodies just don't take the pounding of whatever sport they're playing as well as other people. And Kyle Long, Chiefs are optimistic that he's going to be back and ready to go for the beginning of the regular season. But, you know, how concerned should Chiefs fans be that this great depth and all the moves that they made, that they're already dinged up as before they ever even get to St. Joe?
Yeah, that's unfortunate, isn't it? That kid was making a nice little comeback and was excited to be here and is a quality guy. And, you know, he would have definitely been a nice boost on that line. I mean, I think the bottom line is they're just trying to get something that sticks. And sometimes it doesn't matter what you've done or your resume. As you know, Saran, and we've talked about often, it just plug a guy in that fits seamlessly with the other four guys on that offensive line. And that was not the case going into the Super Bowl, as we saw, right? The right guard went to the right tackle went to left tackle. Like, they were losing guys, and it just felt jumbled, and clearly that was a factor in the way that game turned out last year. Mahomes was pressured more than ever, and they were just, I don't know how they were able to string the line as they did throughout the season. Quite honestly, they lost their starting right guard, who's coming back. But we know that they had, you know, they were playing, you know, a pretty significant, you know, shell game there. And you lose your left tackle, and that clearly is a big blow. And that's when that other moves were necessitated as they went into the big game. So now Fisher's gone, you know, and they're gonna revamp. They made the trade. They put the veteran bodies up there, and I think everybody is tuning and like everybody has checked the box. Yeah, this is probably from left to right, tip to tail, an upgrade overall. And now you're not even in the season, and they lose one of their starters. So, but they'll figure it out. They always do. They cross train guys, as all these offensive line coaches are now, that they can play tackle and guard on either side. So not a big blip on the screen, but certainly significant when you're not even into your season and a guy's gone. Niners lost a guy the other day on their offensive line at school, and they were counting on him, and he was an important factor on their offensive line. So teams go through it. It's just how you react. And, you know, I think this team has always been a good reactionary team. One of the things you probably don't talk about the Chiefs enough is next man up, reactionary, how they maneuver when there's a opening. And their track record is good. Even if it, you know, they limp into the Super Bowl as they did with a reconstructed line, you know, they still got there, and that's pretty significant. So I would give, you know, Brent and Andy and all these guys that make these moves, you know, credit that they've been good in reactionary moves down the road and in the past.
We're talking to Kevin Harlan here in the program. Are we watching a changing of the guard in the NBA? Look, the Clippers, no team's ever come from 2-0 down twice. They're going to try to do that now that they're down 2-0. And Brooklyn's still a heavy favorite. Maybe it's not this year, but isn't it kind of refreshing to see the Jazz and the Suns and some of these young teams that are having, all this great success right now and new stars emerging?
Well, we're Kansas Cityans. Don't we love the Chiefs? And you and I felt the same way and talked the same way, these mid-markets that are not the glamour markets on either coast or whatever. And here they are finding some success. Milwaukee signing on to Tecumbo. So I think, when you see something different, I think that's always good for the infrastructure of the league. I mean, for 10 straight years, we had Steph Curry or LeBron James or both. And this is the first year in a decade that they're not involved in these late season NBA headlines. And I think that's good. I think you want you've evolving, turning up new names, Devin Booker, Donovan Mitchell, like all these names now that are surfacing, I think are good for the league. They strengthen the league, and you always want that. It was good when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl in pro football. It strengthened the league. It was not in New England, and it wasn't the common name that you were always expecting to see. It was a different name, and that was good. And I think this is good for the NBA, too. We're going to have another champion. Of these eight teams, the last team that won a championship was 1983 Philadelphia 76ers with Dr. J and Moses Malone. That's how far back we're going. So I would feel like probably a lot of people, we love LeBron and we love Curry, but it's great to see other names in there, and we're certainly getting our fill of it now.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, I don't know if it'll be like college basketball. We love the upsets. And then when it gets to the Final Four, if the big boys aren't there, nobody watches. Right.
Yeah.
Upsets right. are great. Yeah. But I'm not watching those crap teams. You know, I never understand the mindset, but I do think it's really exciting basketball that we're watching right now. And is this, I know Brooklyn is an overwhelming favorite to win the title, and they almost, Kevin Durant just missing the three that would have sent the game to overtime with the Bucks last night. So even without Harden, the Bucks needing just an incredible performance from Middleton and Giannis to get by Brooklyn. But they just feel to me like this is only going to work for a short term. Like they better cash and win. Maybe I'm not saying it's just 1 year, but they've had such a hard time staying healthy right now. That's not going to get better with more years and more mileage on them. This is, I think, vital that the Nets cash on this year. Do you agree?
I do. I think there's that line of demarcation. And that line of demarcation says, we're sticking with what we've got. We're going to develop these young players. We've got a couple rising superstars. This is Team X.
Right.
And we're going to stay the course. And we're not going to blow it by going out and getting a free agent who's going to knock our cap out of whack and not have money for these young kids. And we're gonna go in that direction. And then there's the other one that says we've got a couple of players who are kind of like in the middle of their careers that are borderline superstars, but we have a unique opportunity to get a couple others and be all in and play and pay the tax on the cap because we're over and go all in on this year just to give kind of ignite our fans, get some momentum, and then let's worry about the rebuild and other things the year after. But when you've got a unique opportunity that's right there, you've got to grab it. And we're seeing that with Phoenix Suns a little bit. They've got rising stars. They've got a couple of kids. That's in fact, they got three really good young players, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, who was the number one pick a couple years ago out of Arizona. And they got Mikal Bridges, who played in the two national championship teams at Villanova for Jay Wright. So they came out of the bubble last year, 8-0 in Orlando. They just missed the playoffs. But there was a sizable leap. And they looked at that line of demarcation, as you know, Seren, and they said, we're still close. Do we stay the path here of just developing these guys, let them get their chops in the playoffs? No, we can't do it. Or do we go to this unique opportunity and get a couple of veterans that are really good one guy in a Hall of Famer and pay a ton and kind of step over that line a little bit, but know that let's get all in. And at the same time, we'll take these young emerging superstars and drag them here and accelerate their growth. And that's what they did. They traded for Chris Paul with Oklahoma City, and then they signed Jay Crowder off of Miami's NBA Finals team a year ago. So they got two guys that are leaders, finals veterans in Crowder and a Hall of Famer in Paul, and said, we're all in. They put all their chips in, and we don't disrupt these three emerging great young players, so we get the best of both worlds. So if you watch Phoenix, and I've got that series here in the second round, it has been like almost to perfection what they've done. The veterans are dragging these young kids, making them better and accelerating their growth while not disrupting the timeline of a long-term plan. And that has been great to watch. So they are all in, thinking that they needed like a leader to show these younger players how to do it. Brooklyn said, we're going to get some veteran guys. We're going to make the trade for Harden. He's expensive. As they did a couple years ago with KD, they got Durant, you know, and paid him a ton. And then they got Kyrie and from Boston. So like they're all in, and it may, as you were alluding to, it may not be long lasting, but it's right in front of us now. And they are, you're right. I thought if LeBron and Anthony Davis were healthy, that the Lakers were the team. And I would stand by that still, but clearly they weren't. Davis is constantly injured, and now that's got a big issue for the Lakers.
Sure.
I don't know that he can stay healthy. And LeBron's ankle was clearly not even 90% and was doing it on one leg, and even then he was terrific, but not enough. And they don't have enough parts around him. So here we go, and we got a new champion that'll be crowned, and that's good for the league. And we'll see. You know, we have different stuff. Then you got Utah. They have the best record in the NBA. And the Utah Jazz are coasting along. You mentioned before, 2-0 over the Clippers, and everyone's kind of looking at the Clippers, but clearly they're not what, you know, they may not have the depth of a variety of areas to make that jump. And the best team overall might be Utah and in the West, and they're going to be challenged by Phoenix, and that would be a fun series to watch and a chance for Chris Paul to possibly make an NBA final. He's never been to the conference final. He's never made it out of the second round. So that's a story unto itself.
Yeah, no doubt. The other thing that I think is kind of note here is a lot of guys that were second-round picks contributing. You know, there's a feeling that, and to a large degree, it is somewhat like baseball in that the top handful of guys are really where most of the stars come from. But, you know, from Middleton being a second-round pick and Jokic winning the MVP, he was a second-round pick. Like, I love the NBA draft. And it's not because I used to say because you knew who everybody was. But now with all the foreign guys, you don't know who everybody is. But like you don't need to just turn it off after the first 25 minutes because there's a lot of guys that are playing really big roles for these teams that are still left that weren't necessarily high picks. And I think that's, you know, good for the game as well. Do you agree?
You nailed it. What it has done, what the development of the international game has done, and we need to go back really about 20, 30 years ago. And the United States sent the Hubie Browns of the world, the Mike Fratellos, and all the prominent coaches that we know, NBA and college, Boeheim, they sent these guys in the summer, 20, 30, even longer, but really intensified it 20 or 30 years ago. They sent these great basketball minds to Europe. And they told them, teach the coaches in Europe how to coach. Teach them fundamentals. Teach them drills. Teach them game strategy. And what has happened is all these coaches, the Hubie Browns, the Mike Fratellos, the Boeheims, the Roy Williams, the Larry Browns, like all these guys, the Don Nelsons, all these coaches, they went over there, taught these coaches in Europe. Those coaches grabbed it and expanded it with their own vision. And now you've got this great group every year of young European players that are available for the draft. And before, the draft was the best college players and then kind of the secondary college players. And that's why we never got to see second round picks really make a dent. But now you've got a richer, deeper, far, far more talented available group to draft from. And now that second round has teeth. That second round just produced the lowest rated drafted player to ever win an MVP in the NBA in Jokic at Denver. So it kind of came full circle when he was named this week as the league's best player, and he was, and he won by a landslide. That the European influx has strengthened the second round. It's made the NBA product better, and it's just given basketball overall a more resounding quality product. And they leave it at two rounds, so that second round becomes like a glorified first round. You don't just poo-poo second-round picks anymore, as you were alluding to. You make it a impact with your second-round picks. They can initially fill the back part of your bench, and then you take those second-round picks, and you develop them, you play them, and they become contributors. So, no, I am on board with you. This has been great. But when you see what's going on now, it all goes back to those guys that were giving these clinics in the summer, in the offseason, overseas. And so when you see Fratello and Larry Brown and Hubie Brown and Boeheim and the Roy Williams and all these, Krzyzewski, all these guys spent years going overseas and teaching the game so that it could be taught the right way over there, and thus you see better basketball talent coming over here and strengthening the overall product, but certainly the second round of the draft.
Yep, it is. It's made it a lot of fun, no doubt, and should be a lot of fun tonight. More games, and of course, the Voice of America, Kevin Harlan, calling the Suns games that are on right now. It's amazing how many Suns fans there are. You'll hear his call on the Suns and the Nuggets. We'll see if the Nuggets can get things going in the right direction. It's time for our Final Four with Kevin Harlan. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you've got an urgent or orthopedic sports injury that's put you on the bench, the same experts that care for the Royals can see you quickly request an appointment at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. Kevin, I'll start you with this. What are you feeling? Who's the NBA champ when it's all said and done? Just an update.
You know, my wife gets the most nervous when you ask me these Final Four questions. She says, for the love of everything that is right in our family, please go down the middle. Don't say something stupid. And so that resonates in my head when you begin this, because I never know where it's going to go. Even though we have these hour-long production meetings.
That's right.
For this half-hour segment, right?
That's right.
So you never reveal the Final Four.
Never.
So, Brooklyn. I'm going to pick Brooklyn. Okay. I just think that they probably, if Harden comes, it's a slam dunk. But if they have an injury to Durant, I mean, then it gets derailed. And then I think Utah's strong. They're a strong team. And the team with the best five balanced is Phoenix. They got a true five. They've got two defensive wings that are two-way players. In other words, they play offense and defense, and they're both perfectly suited for the wings, those forwards. They got a superstar shooting two who can also handle the ball, and they have a pure point. So, like, they got every box checked. But I think that, again, and health is everything. So I don't want that to be a cop-out, but
no.
Brooklyn right now probably would be my team. I'll take Brooklyn. Okay. Take Brooklyn right now. As they are.
Okay. Are you disappointed with some of the blowouts you've gotten to call during these playoffs that you haven't had a drunken fan? You haven't had a drunken fan come running out to call.
We had one. We had one guy when I did the 76ers in That's Washington. Right. Guy ran out there and we didn't show it because it was on TV, and they tackled him as he had ran down the court and then went going back out there. Then a guy got him from behind with a nice ankle tackle. It was terrific. Security guy. But yes, it looks like things have settled. But the other night in Phoenix, we're doing a game and there was a little shoving late in the game. The frustrations were coming out.
Yep.
And it was like ants to a picnic. The number of security guys that ran out of the stands in cities in just civilian clothes, no badge, no nothing. They ran out there and turned around and said, I dare you to come on the floor. It was just like, wow. So there are so many hidden security people in these stands now at these NBA games. If they see anybody look silly, they're gone. They're tossing them. So, I think the league is definitely tightening the screws in that regard.
All right. Do you have to do a double take when you're reading about the NFL and you see WFT? because I always do a double take like I'm reading WTF.
Yes, yes, I do. We are cut from the same cloth. No, I do. I look at that and go, something is not right about that. They got to, you know, the Indians are about ready to reveal their name. Am I correct? The Cleveland baseball Indians?
Yep.
They're about ready to give their new mascot, their new nickname, which will be good. And the Redskins are now the Washington football team is what you're referring to. I'll tell you what it's hardest, though. I did a playoff game with the Buccaneers in Washington against the Washington football team. It's like, it's cumbersome to say.
Right.
I get it. And there are a lot of teams in soccer that have that, you know, that the name of the city and then soccer team or whatever they call them. I hope they come up with a, and they got to call them the generals, the senators, the politicians, like they've got, you know, they've got 1,000 names in government that they could employ here. Just give them it. Let's move on. Don't make this stand out. We all know it was an offensive name. They changed it. It's gone. So call them the generals or call them the senators. The senators isn't being used. Use that.
Yeah.
That's whatever. But you've got 1,000 possibilities there. Just call them some.
Yeah, the federals.
Federals, right? Yes. Yeah, yes. Come on. You're overthinking it.
Yeah. How about the Washington money wasters? You know.
The pork bellies pork fat or you can call them 1,000 things. The generals, the politician. I mean, you can call them by the federals. That's the general. You're overthinking it. You give them a name and let's move on. Reflect the city and let's move on.
I can think of half a dozen of the Washington vacationers. Right, the Washington, our healthcare is better than your healthcare. There's so many of them. You know,
Lobbyists. I mean, you can think of 100 of them. Come on,
just rolls just, off.
Don't
the
overthink
tongue.
It. Don't over. Just get a good team. Just don't overthink it.
I really wish I'd left that one for last because I enjoyed that one. But my final one simply is: I got back from Colorado. Do you snow ski or snowboard, Kevin?
Oh, snow ski, and I haven't done it in years because it doesn't really fit in our schedule with my schedule. I snow skied as a kid up in Wisconsin, certainly,
sure,
and played hockey, but very little. Last time I went with a bunch of buddies to Park City when I was about 23 before I met my wife and right when I was kind of starting my career, and I haven't really gone since, to be quite honest. It just doesn't fit my winter schedule with all the basketball. But,
no matter what I ask you about doing, I have in my head a picture and the sound of you calling the action of whatever you're doing. And I just see you swooshing down the slopes, almost downhill style, and barking at people to get out of your way as you go. I just have this great vision of you. And for some reason, you're wearing a headset. I don't know why, but you're wearing a headset as you head down the slopes. It just seems.
I will finish with a quick 30-second story.
Okay.
All these kids that they're looking for advice, they're looking for help, and you know, we're always helpful and want to be helpful and give whatever advice, you know, from, you know, this is whatever. So when I was young, when I was just learning to drive, when I had my temps in Wisconsin, I think I got them when I was 14 or 15, when I was doing that, I used to do play-by-play as I was driving and what I would see. So I'd be driving the car when I was like 14 and a half and 15, and I'm coming up to a stop sign right now, and my right foot gently taps the brake, and I look to the left, and I look to the right. Now I quickly pull out of the intersection. I go ahead. Oh, there's a yellow school bus who comes by in the opposite lane. Oh, there's a lady walking her child. And I used to do that because I felt it would give me practice doing radio play-by-play. So I've said it to a couple of kids over the years, and they've come back to me years later and said, you know, I did that, and it's so good because it helps you think kind of – it makes the – it sounds like I'm a goof, and I am, but that's what I. But that's how I used to practice when I was a kid. When I wasn't on the air, I used to just. Maybe as a younger skier, I don't remember doing it, but I might have done it when I was on the slopes and skiing. That I might have done something like that. But that's a little nice little drill for aspiring play-by-play people to do. And even if you're just a giving reports and stuff, to think off the top of your head and to be able to kind of talk, just off the cuff. It's a good way to I went too deep there. I went way too deep.
No, I'll match your 30-second story with a 10-second story.
Good.
Guys that asked me, you know, well, what should I do? And there's some of them I'm like, that you can tell that they don't want to just let it go, right? I'm like, there is an element of showbiz. I said, get used to hearing your voice. When you're driving around, talk to the radio, talk to whatever, get used to hearing your voice. So I'm glad that I'm not the only one that has sent people out to look like absolute fools in their car.
I don't do it as much anymore. Maybe in the summer when I'm trying to get my strength in my voice a little bit, cause I take a couple weeks off and my voice will get, your voice is a muscle. And so if you don't use it, it gets soft and flabby like anything else would. And sometimes a couple of weeks before I start my first preseason game with the Packers, when I'm driving, I'll start to kind of, you know, do some mock play-by-play of what I even do a little bit now just to kind of begin to strengthen my voice a little bit. When I'm doing the video game recording, that helps. But you know, if you sit and don't use your voice for a couple of months, it, I don't know if you ever find this, it's tough to kind of get it back going again. You know, it's a muscle and it needs to be worked. And and if you don't, you need to kind of condition it a little bit.
Nah, my voice is crap. It always sounds like crap. So no, I've never experienced that, Kevin. I've never experienced it. Not once. you're the man, Kevin. We always appreciate it. Thanks so much. And have yourself a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Saran. Always a pleasure. You take care.
But first, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. Chris Middleton, the third Bucks player to have 35 points and 15 rebounds in a playoff game. I asked for either of the other two, Giannis back in 2019, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who did it 9 times.
Wow. Wow. I might have thought like Terry Cummings might have been on that list, maybe Jack Sikma on that list. Certainly not Alton Lister.
No.
as far as old Bucks go. But yeah, you're not shocked by Kareem. Maybe Oscar Robertson. Maybe you would have thought he would have been there as well. But no, yeah, that's a good
times.
One. Middleton, Texas
A&M. You only played there 5 years.
Second round pick, just like we talked about with Kevin Harlan. Second round picks, man. Yep. There's a lot of guys that were second round picks doing a lot of damage playing for wonderful Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. I got Joe's coming to my house tonight. That's where I'm headed. Got some friends coming over. We got a big spread from Joe's. We got burnt ends. We got pulled pork. We got short ends. We got beans, we got slaw, we got fries, we got rings. It is going to be awesome. We got it at joeskc.com. Order it online right now. You will be as happy as we are. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Go to joeskc.com to order right now for any of your festivities. You get some friends together, and we're getting some Joe's, and we are fired up. Curtis, you know, you'll be there.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to enjoy some Joe's as well. You can enjoy the Bushnell Factory Outlet Father's Day Sale. Great event. They do it every year. Nobody does it better than them. 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa, great local company. Come down and see them. They're open Monday through Friday, 10 to 7, Saturday, 10 to 5. Get here before Father's Day. Take advantage of great deals like $50 golf GPS, golf laser ranger, laser range finders for just $130. Binoculars starting at $35, $35 tactical rifle scopes, trail cameras for $40. They've got it all. Dad will love it if you get over here and shop at the Bushnell Factory Outlet. Our great friends here at Bushnell. Come see them. 8500 Marshall Drive in Lenexa.